Recording. 3, 2, 1.
Solid.
Nice.
Solid. We'll just start all of our podcasts with a clap sync from now on. So, hello. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to look this way. We have a different camera because the Insta360 camera gave me a headache and caused a lot of problems. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Jonah Joba.
And this is the Movie Rubric. We're joined today. We've got Jonah's iPhone over there filming. We've got a nice fireplace up on the TV screen. Yep. Because I couldn't figure out how to get trap footage to loop properly. So we're going to slowly see if we can figure out how to improve our quality. But if you're an audio-only person, we promise to explain everything we're doing. So we just went and saw the movie Trap. And I got to say, I'm very happy. This is the first time a theater sound system has worked in like the last 5 or 6 movies I've seen.
Yeah.
Very thankful for it.
I thought it sounded pretty good. Yeah, it was good.
It did. And I'm just getting frustrated with AMC for constantly charging $18 a ticket and not working. So we're going to just go ahead and dive in here. Cole, I put in here to talk about the Kiss cover band. I'm not sure why. I don't know. I was like, let's talk about Kiss cover band. And then I was like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, no.
So yeah, way to go. You spent so much time working on the script over here.
Yeah, it wasn't even a script. I was
the outline, and it's like 10 seconds in, already out the window.
Someone the other day was like, you guys should like talk about yourselves more at the beginning. And I was like, I should.
They don't want to hear about us.
You know what? I hate talking about myself, though.
There's not much to talk about.
I'll be real. We're not that exciting.
No, absolutely not. But we did go see Trap this weekend. It's the newest movie by M. Night Shyamalan. We're going to start with a spoiler-free discussion. And before we even really get to the spoiler-free discussion, I want to know, what were your guys' thoughts before you went into the theater to see this movie?
Like, thoughts on
what do you think was going to happen? Because it's Shyamalan. He's known for his twists. He's known for being kind of wacky.
Real. I didn't have much of an idea of what this was going to be. I only saw, the initial trailer that's played before, every movie this year, it seems like. So I really didn't have much expectations. I was just along for the ride on this one.
Yeah. I had a prediction. I was very, very wrong. But before that, Jonah, did you have any thoughts going into this?
Yeah, so I haven't seen a ton of Shyamalan movies, but this kind of seemed, just based on the trailers, it seemed like a kind of movie where like something different, there would be a twist, you know, something crazy would happen. And then when the movie started, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but once the movie got going, I still thought for the first half that things were going to go a different direction. But I don't want to spoil anything. So I might talk about it later.
When is the Shyamalan going to kick in here?
Yeah, when are things going to go completely in a different direction? You know,
so. I was thinking even up until almost the very end, I'll say when later, that they were still going to do something. There was some plot element we're missing.
I think I know when you're talking about. There is something I also thought.
It never came.
Yeah.
So maybe that is in and of itself a spoiler. There wasn't a big twist. My prediction going into this was super wrong, and I made this in the theater because I've only seen one trailer for this movie. We saw it when we went to go see Deadpool.
Deadpool, and they also shot it before Twisters.
I was oh, that looks good. My theory was that, based off the trailers, he was going to be a government whistleblower, right? And he only hunts down government people, and the government's trying to silence him because he knows too much. So before we say, I think I already said I was very, very wrong on that. Going into the movie, I did not know what to expect. This movie's hard to talk about. I typed up a script. Cole made fun of me. The reason I typed up a script is because sometimes I just have a good feel for how the episode's going to go. This movie's hard.
It's hard to talk about. I was thinking about, I don't know how to, really, what my thoughts are.
You would have to just, break down the entire movie.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm looking here, where it's the spoiler-free. And once again, it's hard to talk about without spoiling anything, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Even the trailers don't show. I mean, I think everything from the trailer is the first 30 minutes?
Basically.
Probably.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. So I the only thing I'm going to say, this is the spoiler-free discussion, I'll try not to spoil anything, is it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting a twist. The twist never really came. And a lot of the movie feels like a concert. I'm trying to give people an expectation. If they're going to go see this movie, should they go see this movie? I'll say this. I feel like the first 40 minutes of the movie was a concert.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
It's like they pause the movie sometimes to play music.
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to pad that runtime, which, not like they had
Which is Lady Raven or whatever her name was?
I don't think
she's real.
I don't think she's real. I think they may have. Is she real?
Yes and no. I need to do more research. I discovered this today, full transparency, while scrolling Reddit on the toilet.
Okay.
Do you know who plays Lady Raven?
No.
It's Shyamalan's daughter.
Okay.
And she's apparently wanting a music career.
So this
like a music acting career.
I'm hearing M. Night nepotism.
Yeah, Nepo baby.
Almost told Cole before he got here. So yeah, so
who's the hero of the sorry. Spoilers.
Jonah. You're fine. You're good. I just if I hadn't known that, I thought that the first 30 to 40 minutes of the movie felt kind of like a concert.
Yeah.
Now that I know that that's, I think it's his daughter. I pulled up the cast list earlier.
That would make a lot of sense looking back on the movie.
You know, in hindsight now,
someone on Reddit said it was his daughter. It could just be a relative, but her name is Seleka Shyamalan.
So it's a pretty close relative. Yeah, same
you're related
yeah.
in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I'm going to her IMDb here to see if it just says like Shyamalan's daughter. Daughter of M. Night Shyamalan. There it is. Trivia. For sure his daughter. And this person on Reddit said that like she's trying to start her acting career and she's also done music as well. So to me, it kind of felt like this movie was a really weird way to plug your daughter.
Yeah. And she wasn't. I think
she was fine.
She was fine. Yeah.
But
nepotism.
It kind of feels like they wrote the movie.
Isn't M. Night Shyamalan's Camelot?
I do not know what is this Campbell Toe?
Campbell Toe? In my Shyamalan's like, well,
cameo.
Cameo, yeah. I don't think, I guess it's not a huge spoiler.
He's but he has like a cameo in every one of his movies.
Yeah. Wasn't he like her uncle?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I didn't know what M. Night Shyamalan looked like. So he goes like, oh, the M. Night Shyamalan cameo. And I was like, what?
That was it? Like,
when? Where? Yeah. Yeah, so I just feel like that's worth talking about. That's actually going to affect my score later, but yeah. I feel like that's worth talking about now is before you go to this movie, know that like the first chunk of this just kind of feels like a weird concert for his daughter. And that's really all I can say without spoiling too much. I will say this, I wish I had not seen a trailer for this movie.
Yes, I agree. You talked about that the other day, and mm-hmm. I agree.
This is a movie I would not have gone to see if I had not seen the trailer, but this is one I wished I could have just experienced very fresh. So with that, I'm going to out of the way, unless you guys have any other thoughts. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you guys have any other thoughts?
I don't have any other thoughts to that.
Not spoil.
That aren't spoil free.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do one thumb down. I do not think you should take time out of your day, week, and spend your money to go see this in theaters. I started getting phlegm getting stuck in my throat as I was saying that sentence, and I just got weaker. I'm one thumbs down.
I would say just wait for streaming on this one, because like, yeah, Shyamalan's done some good stuff, but like it's mid. It wasn't bad by any means.
When's the last time? Pen. Jonah, thoughts? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Should people go see this in theaters? Wait for streaming? Skip it? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
I would say also wait for streaming. I don't think it's bad.
It wasn't terrible.
But it's not something you need to run to the theater to watch.
No, it wasn't bad.
Here's the thing. It's a serviceable movie.
If
you like this kind of stuff, which, you know, there's a lot of things I did enjoy from this movie, but
yeah, it's
I would have a hard time trying to sell this to someone to be like, hey, go buy a movie ticket and go see this movie.
Yeah, if you're going to go to a theater, I would definitely say, right now at least, I would say rather buy, you should, if you want to entertain time at the theater, I would say get Twisters or Deadpool. I think right now. I think they're more theatery entertaining movies right now.
Definitely Deadpool.
Yeah.
I'm still iffy on Twisters.
You're iffy on Twisters?
I didn't love Twisters. I'd rather
watch for a theater movie, I think.
I'd go to the theater and watch this over Twisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I don't know.
It's tough.
It's hard. It's tough.
Maybe okay. Rank all of the movies we watched this season.
Gosh, I had a thought. I said, put a pin in that. Now I'm not going to be. This is why I should have.
You said, when was the last time?
That's it. Yeah. When was the last time M. Night Shyamalan, in your opinion, has made a good film? Because I think he's one of those directors. The Visit. And I don't even think I watched The Visit. When did that come out?
That would have been into 2010 sometime. That was probably 2016? 15?
I don't. If you don't know, you're the date guy. If you don't know
that one, I know roughly. Probably look it up. Look what year The Visit came out. I could be way off on that.
The two Shyamalan movies I've seen are The Sixth Sense and Avatar. So I just
you've seen the best and the absolute worst.
I'm kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to get here, but I'm just going to see what he did this time. You know, I have no expectations for
him. I didn't care for the last Shyamalan movie we saw, which was Knock at the Cabin either.
Oh, that was him? I didn't see it, but I remember hearing about it.
I liked Knock at the Cabin a lot more than this movie.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I pulled up his IMDb here. Hey, look, it's him. It's the uncle. Here he is. He's known for, I want to see all of his stuff. I want to see all
Old
of his
was also pretty trash.
So, yeah, Old. Is that The Beach?
Yeah, that one was terrible.
Didn't like that. So terrible. He has Trap. The Watchers. That just came out, right?
Oh, did he do Split?
He did Watchers?
Apparently he did Watchers. I didn't realize that was him. So he has his like last movie starting at 2024 is Trap, The Watchers, Servant. Didn't see that. Knock at the Cabin. Okay. Old, not good. Glass, overhyped. In my opinion. These are just my opinions.
Split.
Split. I liked
fantastic.
Split.
Fantastic.
I liked Split. Wayward Pines.
Never even heard of that
before. Never heard of it. Yeah. The Visit, After Earth, Devil. Oh.
He did After Earth.
And then
Last Airbender.
How do you just know that? What? Can you see my screen?
No, I knew how you, from your reaction, because you have such disdain for it. What other movie are you going to react that
Cole
way to?
Cole should be a detective. and then The Last Airbender. And then before that, The Happening, Lady in the Water, The Village.
Yeah, The Village wasn't bad.
That was 2004.
Yeah.
Dang.
But Split, I would say then, from that list, there, Split would have been the last like great movie he did.
So like, yeah, he made The Village, which according to this only has a 6.6. He did Signs in 2002.
Yeah. So Signs, The Village, Sixth Sense.
Like
Split and The Visit. Those are like the five like.
Yeah. And here's my question, or my, I guess my observation, and I fall into this bucket. People see M. Night Shyamalan on the poster, and they go see the movie. Like, people love M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
But why?
I think a lot of, I think it's a Sixth Sense.
And it's like a classic. When was Sixth Sense?
That was in the late 90s. That was like 99, long time ago.
This goes back to 1992, and I don't even see it on here.
But people like that movie,
forget
though.
To list it on his IMDb.
Hey, that's his biggest one. Oh, maybe Signs. People like Signs a lot,
People do
too.
Like Signs, yeah.
If Shyamalan has other movies that are not on this list, I apologize. I'm just going by his like previous 18 movies according to IMDb. So take with that. Oh, you know what? That said producer. Oh. Okay, let's see if these are any different. Trap, Servant, Knock at the Cabin, Old, Glass, Split, Andra Day, Rise Up, The Visit, Wayward Pines, After Earth, Avatar, The Village, Signs, Unbreakable, The Sixth Sense, 1999, Wide Awake, and Praying with Anger. Okay, so the guy has two good movies.
Two?
If you count The Sixth Sense. Signs is pretty good.
The Village is solid.
The Village. Okay, so he's got like...
The Visit I really liked.
But out of his 19 movies, he's maybe made 4 to 5 good
His track
movies.
Record's not great.
Yeah.
He made a lot of mid, and he's also made some hot garbage. Like, when he does garbage, it's bad.
Yeah, so I don't want like a... there doesn't have to be like an actual factual answer here, but like, what do you guys think of the reason that people go see it? I think you started to say, like, was it Sixth Sense?
I feel like Sixth Sense is just like... It's one of those movies that a lot of people really like. It's like super iconic. And I feel like a lot of people like... I think a lot of people maybe don't know his other work, and I feel like people see him at Sean like, oh, the Sixth Sense guy, I like that movie.
My thought is that maybe they're chasing that feeling of the Sixth Sense twist, where like your mind is blown the first time you see it.
Yeah.
And people are waiting for him to do that again, but the reality is he probably isn't.
I actually have another, I think going off of that, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I wasn't going to say anything. No, you're good.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I have, I think it's like, it's kind of building on what he said. It's like a drug. It's like the Flash TV show. Hear me out.
Okay.
I know you're not a big fan of the Flash TV show, but I was a huge fan of the Flash TV show. Okay. And then season one came out, banger. Two came out, banger. Three came out. It's like, what the heck just happened? And then I kept watching to like season six, and it was all terrible. And then I think the reason I kept watching, even though it was terrible every time, is that I'm like, I know they can make a banger. So I think every time I tuned in, I was trying to recapture the high.
It's like Marvel.
Yeah. Every time I tune in, I'm just like, please be as good as the first one. It never was.
For me, that exact thing you're talking about is Arrow.
Arrow. Yeah, similar thing.
Arrow started really strong, and I didn't like any of the last half of that show, but I liked the first two seasons.
Yeah,
totally get it.
Season two of that show is a banger.
Yeah. Three is like, Supernatural to a degree, like the first four seasons, solid.
Yeah.
And then every now and then they had a good season.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except with Flash, it's like every time you have a good episode, you never had a good season.
They always it like sneaks through. Like it's still in there. It's the in good there. Stuff is still in there. Just
yeah.
You might be right. I think that's probably a good reason.
I think it might be it.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe. And maybe like Split was like the good season.
He's back. Good
season.
Yeah.
I love Split. Split was really good. But I do think that's the last time I've enjoyed a Shyamalan movie. Knock at the Cabin was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. That's all. That was my only thing. I'm going to take my pen out of that, and I'm ready to move on to the spoilers if you guys want to move on to the spoilers.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm ready.
Spoiler warning for those listening along. Gosh, I never know how to transition straight out of that. Just to get straight into it. So I'm going to start with this. One of my least favorite parts about this movie, he's in the... looks like a skating rink or something. It almost looks like the Blue Stadium kind of I got. Like, and he keeps coming up with these plans to get out of here. And the trailer made me think that he's going to be some genius mastermind. Nothing he did ever actually did anything. Pushes a lady down the stairs and then runs over and he's like, let's go back inside.
Yeah.
He like thinks about jumping in the floor, throws the soda in the thing, goes up to the roof. Nothing. Just goes back downstairs. Like so many times in this movie, it's like, I want to see this guy be like a genius mastermind like they keep saying he is.
His plan didn't come through on the pushing a lady down the stairs because he was like trying to get outside.
But he saw the
cops. But he saw the cops and he's like, I can't get through there. So it's like, crap, go back in. Just reset.
What was he going to do? Was he just going to grab his daughter and run out the door right then and there? Like, because I feel like
that's more suspicious.
That's more suspicious.
Tell your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, hey, by the way, I'm a killer.
I'm a killer.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so that was maybe one of my larger gripes with this movie is like he wasn't smart. Like, and then the cop keep going, he's devious, he's dangerous, he plans ahead, he's manipulative. And like we got to see that kind of once when he pulled Ariana Grande knockoff. Ariana Grande, sorry.
Hey, my gosh, what the heck?
Yeah, my bad. Into the locker room or her green room or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the only time we got to see him do anything really mischievous or like.
Yeah, I think maybe what I kind of liked about him is that he kind of had like, everyone thought he was a good guy. Like he put up like the demeanor of like, oh, I'm just a dad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he was a
very charismatic.
Yeah. I think the charismatic part was, I was like, oh, he's like, that's his like trickster element, I guess, is that he appears that he's a friendly guy.
You know, that's pretty, spot on for a serial killer. Cause what are serial killers? Very deceptive and charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How they lure you in.
I'm pretty sure this guy to train for this role went and watched iCarly.
He looks like Spencer from iCarly.
How can I channel Spencer for my nice guy?
But also be a serial killer at the same time. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Spencer's unhinged.
True. He wouldn't kill anybody, but he's a crazy man.
But he was crazy Steven, Drake, and Josh he was.
That's true, yeah.
I'm convinced that's just what this character is.
Yeah, if they went and made a spinoff of iCarly where Spencer's like secretly a serial killer... I would buy into that. Like, Spencer's kind of unhinged. So I think he was
Nickelodeon can make that.
Get on that, Nick.
Yeah.
But, you know, think Dan Schneider, don't do the feet picks.
Yeah. Don't get Dan Schneider on it.
Let's just not involve Schneider.
No, he's done.
Yeah. Let's just no kids in the movie. Just period. Nickelodeon. Actually, you know what? Nickelodeon, why don't you not do
this? You stay far away from this idea.
No, I take it back. Give it to someone else. Give it to Shyamalan.
You know what's so weird? Someone pointed out to me like a year ago that there's an episode of iCarly that aired where, what was the blonde girl?
Sam.
Like you could see her, like the corner of her breast, like openly exposed in an episode, like it aired on TV.
Oh, really?
And I don't know. Now that is factual. Like that, someone showed me like the original clip and it's like, oh geez, why is that on YouTube? But then apparently I was reading, I don't think it was from her book. She wrote a book called like a Glad My Mom Killed Herself, I think it was.
Glad My Mom Died, yeah.
Glad My Mom Died. And someone, I don't know if it was from that book or an excerpt from an interview or did she something, and it's like, why was there a girl on set ever with her bra off?
Yes, ever.
Period. Yeah. And I guess like that was like a Schneider request was like, we're going to...
It's such a shame.
He's a weirdo.
I was like, I was house sitting for someone, they had cable, and iCarly was on, and I love iCarly.
Yeah.
Like, and it sucks because you're watching it, and you're like, man, this is like, it's a good show. It's a really funny show.
Then you
show.
Watch that documentary, and it's like, all these shows are tainted now.
Or like a scene will pop up, and you're like, oh, I know the story behind that now, and now it's like, dang, that just tainted the episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why does a character have their foot out?
I was going to go with feet. No,
it happens a lot if you watch the show. Like, it's like every episode. It happens all the time.
I need to go rewatch it. Sorry, that sounds weird. No, whoa, I don't remember sorry. I don't remember that. I would need to rewatch the show to see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not like, he said feet. I'm going to go rewatch the show.
That's what Dan Schneider does. Okay, anyway, back to this movie.
Back to feet.
Cole, you're so right. You're so right. I think we said it on one episode. Like, when we go off on tangents, it means we like the movie. But, like, this is going to be one of those episodes where, Cole, you need to, like, make sure we're staying on it. Because, yeah, we're going to want to get off kilter.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick to the script because, like I said, I wasn't sure how to talk about this movie because it was a lot of nothing. So let's start. Favorite character. Did any of you have a favorite character?
I thought that the main guy was, you know,
he was
the dad.
He was a good villain.
Yeah,
like,
he was interesting.
I agree. Yeah. He's
he
also
he got some schizo split personality stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
He even said it, like, his two worlds.
Never let him touch.
But never let him touch. And then when they touched, he was just, he didn't know how to react to it.
Yeah.
He's not as good as the guy from Split, but he did do a really good job. Well, I mean,
how can you be better than McAvoy?
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. There was one scene where he's sitting in the car and his left eye's just barely twitching. And I was like, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Or like when the guy first says, oh, they're looking for the butcher. And you see like his smile just barely fades a little bit, but he's still kind of like, really? Where? What?
You know? He did a really good job with it. You brought up my second favorite character was the t-shirt sales guy.
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, he was really
good.
His
thing at the end with the
one of the only good after credit scenes that I'm like, I'm glad.
I'm glad I stayed. Yeah,
like I know that guy.
I helped him.
I helped him.
No.
Oh, that was really funny.
Yeah.
So I brought up Nicole. Said I don't even know if I want to do least favorite character because there's really only the daughter, the dad.
Pop star.
M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Yeah.
Shyamalan, I guess.
Yeah.
Night Raven.
Other Shyamalan, too. Shyamalan, too.
Was it Lady Raven? Night Raven?
Lady Raven. Yeah.
Night Raven's such a cooler
name.
That's
a metal band if I've ever heard
of one. It should have been Night Raven. And then Cole brought up there's the cops and
as
like
a whole, as a collective.
As the detective lady.
The family.
You got the other lady with the kids.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? The other mom and the kids actually were really...
Yeah, she was forgettable, wasn't she?
They were there for a split second. Yeah.
It really played into this... I feel like I say this in a lot of movies. I hope I don't sound too nitpicky with this, but like, if a movie wants to be funny and scary, that's fine. The Menu does it phenomenal. It is a horror comedy thriller. This movie was like trying to create these moments of like suspense and dread, and you're kind of rooting for the serial killer in a weird way, but then like they intercut it with like the weirdest of jokes.
Yeah, like
the mom being one of them.
Like the mom and the daughter freaking out when the kid was on stage.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, you know, it made me chuckle a little bit, but it's kind of like, I feel like it interrupts like the uneasiness of like, oh dang, is the dad about to kill these people backstage, you know?
Yeah. That before we do least favorite character, there was a shot while the girl was dancing on stage that's like one of my least favorite shots in the movie. And there's a lot of times in the movie that the camera just pulls back to a really wide angle. Maybe Shyamalan's trying to make a statement or something. I don't know. But it's him just standing on the corner of the stage. You can't see Lady Raven and the daughter dancing, and he's not really dancing.
Yeah, he's like way over here.
He's just like standing on the corner of the stage, literally just kind of like
bobbing
his head a little bit.
Well, he doesn't know. He's like trying to get into this kid's music gear.
It was just weird to me.
The way the shot was set up was weird.
It was just a really weird shot setup. And like, I don't know what he was trying to say or do there.
I noticed that too.
Just odd. All right. Least favorite character. I wouldn't have put them as a character except for Cole called them one. And I totally agree. The cops.
Come on now.
The cops are so incompetent.
And the security guards too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like, every time like something stupid happened that like he would that what's the Cooper, that the guy's name?
I think
serial
Cooper,
killer.
Yeah.
Not sure. He every time he would like do something, I'd just be dying, like laughing. Like there's no way that
you pulled that off.
That he pulled this off.
Yeah, it was.
He is nat 20-ing all over the place.
Yeah. That's a good point. I made the comment to Cole, I think you were in the bathroom. I said the movie felt to me like someone was running a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, which sometimes is really good. I'm not necessarily marking that against the movie, but it kind of felt like the way that people reacted to him, it felt like someone was like trying to get information at like the tavern in D&D. He's like at the concession stand or the
rolled
t-shirt stand.
Rolled nat 20, yeah.
And it's like, oh, he rolled really good. I flipped through my notes. What's a detail I can drop casually in a conversation. And then, so like one of the stupidest lines was like, yeah, there's no way out. Well, except for backstage, but no one can get backstage. Yeah. That's such a dungeon master way to put that. Just like, I'm going to casually sprinkle this like plot hook.
Or like, what was it? The, yeah, we have a code word in case we see him. Hamilton. What's your code word, if you don't mind me asking? Yeah.
Rolls the nat 20.
Oh, it's Hamilton. Hamilton.
Deception rolls are out of this world yeah. right here.
Or the other one for me was like, they keep telling the whole movie, like, nobody can get in, no one can get out. Everyone in the stadium but is
except
in.
Except for him.
And then at the back, he's like, hey, can we just walk out backstage? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, he didn't end up being able to do that.
It's the greatest, like, the best and worst police force.
Yeah.
It works really well for the Dungeons & Dragons movie. I'm not 100% marking it against it in this movie, but the dialogue felt like Shyamalan was running a D&D campaign for his, like, friend who wanted to play an evil rogue.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
What if that's how this movie just came to be?
I would like it more.
But then he also was like, hey, but my daughter has to be in it.
You go to a concert with your daughter.
I will say, though, I do like the concert setting. Mm-hmm. For I thought we were going to get the whole movie as like the concert.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, obviously, I thought we had like a whole other movie after they left the concert.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to be like, it'd be short-lived after they left. It'd be it. But no, that thing drug on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting it to turn into like a shootout or like a game of cat and mouse within the arena more than it was. Like, I was always waiting for that next thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
they leave.
The way they leave was weird to me. Like, I don't know. So, like, once again, the guy, the trailers made him seem like he's a smart, genius guy. And then he gets Shyamalan Jr. in the green room. And then instead of being like, because he's already lied about his daughter having cancer, which was really funny.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, but it was
funny. It was funny.
We were the only ones laughing in the theater.
It made me think of School of Rock with Jack Black trying to get the band in the Battle of the Bands. He goes, look at them. They're terminal. You know, stick it to the man in Leosis.
I didn't even think about that, but you're totally right.
Same scene, same movie.
Yeah. But, oh gosh. Like, I would have pulled her into the room and been like, hey, my daughter has cancer, yada 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 yada, like the paparazzi's gonna like harassing her, trying to take pictures of her, it's gonna be really really stressful, could we go out the back with you?
Yeah.
Didn't do that. He gets her in the room and he's like, I will kill murderer. This guy.
Yeah.
It's just like, whoa, you jumped 10 leaps.
Yeah,
like you zero sold. To 100.
Yeah,
it's like
you could have got out of it. You've already like finessed your way through all this other stuff. Like
the cop and the wife and the trailers keep talking about how good of a liar he is. He's going to stay calm. He's such a good manipulator. And then he's just like, here's the guy chained up in the basement.
He gotta kill this guy.
He just like showed his hand. Like, do you even like try to make it work there?
No. Yeah.
Like, you made it that far and that's when you're going to just like, I give up now. Hey, I'm the killer, by the way.
It's me.
Yeah. So
how unlucky.
But oh gosh, I don't even think I said it. the cops, we got so off track.
Yeah.
Complaining, which valid things. The cops were so incompetent in this movie, just left, right, and center, that they became my least favorite character, hands down. And I have a couple specific nitpicks, but did you have a least favorite character?
Not really. I think I liked the main guy and everyone else I was kind of just indifferent towards. If I had to pick one, yeah, probably the cops. But also the cops made them be really funny.
Yeah. I say, they so if they bad, if know? They were competent, he wouldn't be getting away with all the antics that he was doing.
Ooh, the other one. Sorry, I know we were just getting back on track. But the other cop moment is the very end. So they find him. He's on the run. They have guns. They fire guns around a crowd of people. And then all of that, they're trying to kill him. They're shooting guns. Then when they know he's in his house, they come in with tasers. And they taser him.
Doesn't go down.
Doesn't work. A guy gets his eyes gouged out, or almost. I don't know if he does, but
yeah.
And it's like, why did you decide like, now you to shoot put to away kill your at guns?
That point. Yeah. Skipping ahead, that's my least favorite scene in the movie. Tasers? And part of it is because like I'm a gun safety enthusiast. I like shooting, right? I like guns, but I'm also a gun safety enthusiast. And like in that scene, four cops shot the window of a limousine with civilians that they put there standing on the other side. There's a group of like 30 of them on the other side of the window, and like four cops shot through. And I was like, well, at the very least injured or hit. And I was like, what? Who directed that? Shyamalan. Like, Shyamalan looked at that scene and was like, yeah, that looks good. Wrap it. Let's go on. And I was like, just actual incompetence. And then the tasers. once again, serial killer holding a weapon, like, and then, like...
Like, you know it's him also? Like,
yes.
If I was the cop getting my eyes gouged out and I found out that my partner decided to tase the guy again instead of shooting him, I'd be so mad.
I'd be like, bro.
Be like, bro.
Like, just shoot.
It is time.
If I could see you, I'd punch you in the face.
Yes. Where are you?
And then, so he gets tased two or three times. Clearly, the tasers are not working.
Yes, he is... charging.
And then the detective lady comes in with a taser.
And she tases him. That one works, I guess.
Are they having allergic to guns around here?
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, they're leaving. I'm just going to... Melise, the scene. I'm just going to complain about this whole scene now. They're leaving. The cops bring the daughter
back.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cops just show up with the daughter, and then she runs up, and they let her hug her dad. I'm like, why did...
No,
the,
that could be a hostage situation. Let's
why did the
that.
Cops bring the daughter?
Yeah, and they said earlier she was with her aunt.
Yeah.
So it's like, did they just go to the aunt? So I was like,
by the
you're
way,
going back.
Hey, we're tasing your dad right now. Get in the car. We don't want to be late.
It's like, be wild stuff.
Yeah.
So then she runs up. Could have been a hostage situation. She could have handed him a knife. She could have been in on it. Would have been a fun twist. Shyamalan, why not?
Awesome.
And then he steps over... And everyone like points their tasers at him again for him to pick up the bike. And it's like, this guy's a criminal, like
mastermind.
Like, yeah. Don't let him pick up the bike.
He'll do something because evidently he did.
I'll check did. Him. It's just, yeah. I don't
pat him down before he gets in the.
Also, no cars got in the back with him. I feel like, I
no
mean,
cars.
Yeah. No guards got
oh,
in
no
the back.
No cops in the back. Yeah. Yeah. That's also. Once again, so my dad will dislike movies because of how he's a state police officer. He'll dislike a lot of movies because of how incompetent the police are. He's like, and sometimes it's not even that they're incompetent. Sometimes it's just like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
But like in this movie, I feel for him. I feel for his
pain.
Oh, I
can't wait to hear his take on this.
Oh, man. He probably won't go watch it.
Oh, my gosh. But like, you'll get him on... We need to get him on an episode where he's at, after he's watched this. Like, so?
What'd you think?
Dude, like,
from the cop's perspective.
No, yeah, the cops were awful. Okay, did any of you say your least favorite scene? Sorry.
I haven't. I don't know. I mean, I didn't like how much they did. Even though I liked the concert setting, I didn't like the cutting back to like, hey, listen to this song.
Yeah. Here's just 45 unabridged seconds of my daughter singing.
Yes.
Hey, who wants to sign her? Like, but I did like, it was a very unique setting, I thought.
It could have been done better, but yeah. You're right. Yeah.
I will say I did like the like the concert trope of here's this random opening band that no one's ever heard of.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Like every time. It's always someone.
All I could think of was Geese.
Yeah, Geese.
Was that someone you guys saw?
Yeah. We went and saw
Greta Van Fleet.
And then after Greta Van Fleet opened for Geese opened. It was just this.
It wasn't
random,
Greta Van it was
it wasn't, but it was
it was the guitar player from Greta Van Fleet. He has a side project that opened for Geese, that opened for Greta Van Fleet. So he opened for himself, and he thanked himself for letting his band open.
That was my favorite part. Like, the guitar player for Greta Van Fleet goes, I'd like to thank Greta Van Fleet for letting us play here tonight. Like,
you're part of them.
It's like, you're Greta Van Fleet.
So it's kind of like a, like when Fearless Flyers opens for, like, Wolfpack or something.
A little bit.
Yeah, and if, like, they got up on stage and Joe Dart was like, thank you, Wolfpack, for letting us open.
Yeah.
I had that situation happen when I went and saw Breaking Benjamin and Skillet. Because Flight to Fury, which is John Cooper's other project, was opening. So, he opened for himself. But he didn't thank himself for...
You know what? I feel like Fight to Fury has such a different sound. Yeah. That's fine. Like, but, like, I didn't feel like... Getting way off tangent. Whatever the band, Mjolnir, whatever their name was.
I don't know. Miramore.
Miramore. I didn't think they were like different Mjolnir. Or good enough.
Yeah, Mjolnir.
Mjolnir the band.
You're right, name, though. The concert setting would have been really, really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I would even say like, I think the movie gets, I wish they stayed in the movie, like in the concert for like most of the movie. I think the movie kind of drops off and starts to drag when they leave the concert.
I mean, you could have
had him in the rafters. You could have had him doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
It should have ended like three or four different times after they left the concert.
I thought that at one point. I was like, this movie never ends.
I thought it was going to be like where I thought the movie was going to end was going to be he's trying to escape with Lady Raven in the car. Then he starts, you know, his two worlds are colliding. He's kind of having a mental breakdown there because he's like, because you can tell he's serial killer, but he's also switching back to dad, like, hey, it'll all work out with those girls. And that was really unsettling.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
SWAT team charges in, bam, 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 dead, call it good. Or, you know what? If you wanted to leave it on a cliffhanger, though, you could have been like, hey, there's a tunnel here, cut to black.
I think it would have. I had a similar thought. Very, very, very similar. I knew the moment the SWAT guy changed places with the chauffeur driver.
Yeah, that was him.
That's him.
Yeah.
It would have been really cool for them to be like, there's a tunnel. Be like, he's got SWAT gear down here. And then just like cut to Lady Raven in the back seat and maybe show the back of his head. Black screen.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have been a better ending.
Unsettling. Very like, crap. Like, stuff's hitting the fan.
Yeah.
More so than it already is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that would have been way more interesting.
But no, we didn't get that.
Yeah, we still kind of got a cliffhanger. I mean, he escapes.
Yeah, about 30 minutes later of movie time.
They could have done like a Shining too, when like he's banging on the bathroom door, something's happened to his family or something shatter and the family stops talking, and then maybe he's banging on the door, and maybe it opens, and then maybe it like, I don't know, maybe it just zooms out in the house.
You said he escapes. I want to say there's no way he escapes, right?
But
these cops...
They're the worst.
He's in the back of an armored vehicle.
By himself. Yes.
By himself. Now, granted, sure, he got the cuffs off. They're going to open those doors, surely, at, like, the penitentiary or something. Like,
yeah.
Unless he jumps for it.
You can't. Like, the door's locked. Unless, in this universe, the cops don't lock the doors. I don't know.
Listen, he'd find a way out. I have full...
Like that's
faith
the
in
thing.
Cooper over here to break his way out.
I didn't even think about it till Jonah said that comment. But like, yes, they showed him get the cuffs off to allude that he was going to escape. But how are you supposed to get even moderately feasible get out of that situation for that to be an open cliffhanger?
I mean, that's how I felt about, you know, how did he get out of the limousine without anyone noticing? He's in the driver's side. Like,
if he was that smart and wily the whole movie, it would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
He decided to be smart and wily in like the last 30 minutes.
He was in the smart wily, or he was like, listen, not going to lie, they had us in the first half. I'm bringing it the second half of the movie. Oof.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys have a favorite part of the movie?
Ooh, that's tough.
I think my favorite scene, there's actually a lot of scenes that I did like. Like when he was being evil, conniving man, I was like, yeah, that's pretty entertaining.
He's very unsettling.
I think my favorite part, maybe this is more because of the theater reaction, was when he's in the back with the t-shirt guy and he hands him the razor and everyone in the theater is like, because no one's around. You could hear everyone in the theater kind of tense up, and then he holds up the knife and everyone's kind of scared, and then he closes it and he goes, thank you, here you go, don't forget this, or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, don't cut yourself.
Yeah, don't cut yourself. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I did like the mid-credit scene, or after-credit scene, whatever you want to call it, with this t-shirt guy being like, oh my gosh, I know him. I helped that guy.
I think my favorite scene was I put Ariana Grande in the bathroom.
That was very tense.
That was the only time in the movie that I genuinely felt true, honest to God, like tension.
Yeah,
like, what's going to happen? He's screaming and cussing and yelling at his family.
I was tense there.
Like, he's going to kill his family.
Yeah. Did you think he killed him when
you hear something break? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered, for a very brief moment, I wondered if he killed the family. But then I just wondered how this firefighter couldn't kick in a bathroom door.
Yeah, or get an axe or something.
Like, I could right now...
kick the door in.
Off-rip.
Go do it right now.
Like my house, but like, kicking in an inside door is not a terribly hard thing to do. Well, especially when you're like 6'2", like that guy is, and you're a firefighter. Like, I just had a really hard time believing that like he couldn't kick in that door.
Movie's got a movie.
Yep, that's true.
You're totally right.
Yeah,
that was like the synopsis for this movie is movie has to.
Movie's got a movie.
With my daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my daughter in there. And her music as well.
Yeah.
Nepotism has to nep.
Yes.
But that was my favorite scene, was Ariana Grande in the bathroom.
Yep, yeah. That was very...
That was also tense. That was probably climax, I'd say.
I was...
maybe.
Wondering how, because, you know, when it was building to like... how is she going to get out of this situation? Because he's like, you know, threatening, like, hey, if you say anything, I'm going to push the button.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was surprised. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, she played him.
I actually enjoyed them using TikTok and, like, I think it was supposed to be TikTok.
Or
like
Instagram Live or something.
Something live, like, in a positive way. Like, that was kind of a unique twist that I wasn't expecting.
Not just like these darn kids and their freaking phones and their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just... what I would have really thought... I hate to say it would have been funny, but it would have been a Shyamalan-like twist is that he had, like, the basement door rigged to explode or something. Like, I thought that would have been a good twist. She's like, if you're live by a lion with a blue door, there's someone in the basement, go save them. Because she's basically telling a kid. She says, grab your parents or siblings and go rescue this person. And I would have loved for him to, like, turn around the camera and show the guy still there. And then,
later
her find out that, like, the door to the basement itself was rigged and, like, they, like, stepped on a claymore or something.
Yeah,
like, exploded. Like, that would have been a Shyamalan-esque
twist. She was the cause for someone's death, and she sent them to die, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, some moral gray areas. Should she have acted? Shouldn't she have acted? Instead, it all worked out.
Yeah.
This is the only serial killer movie I think I've seen where, like...
Does anybody die?
No, I don't think so.
How many people die?
Someone gets pushed down the stairs.
Well, they die off screen. Like, evidently, he killed a bunch of people, which...
Yeah.
Prior to the movie.
In the movie.
And it implied very, very loosely that they were teachers.
Well, I think it's just people who... There was teachers, and there was just... I think it was mainly people who... I don't even know how to word it.
They made a comment at one point during
he killed a teacher. I don't think it was all teachers.
Yeah. The police rally, he was like, this guy was a good... He was a teacher. And then later, when he's talking about the guy in the basement, he says that he's a teacher at a university studying botany. So I don't know if he had, like, a thing for teachers, if his mom was a teacher, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's
but
more.
They didn't explain that, though.
Didn't explain it. They also didn't explain... They kind of hinted that, like, he was stealing jewelry for the family, but
off the bodies. Yeah.
But they didn't do a good job, I feel like, of actually using that plot hook. Like, and weirdly, there's a scene right before the green room scene where Lady Raven, like, freezes and looks at the ring the girl's wearing, and it zooms in, and she has this shocked look expression on her face, and then she just goes about her life like normal. I'm like, are we not gonna address,
like, hey, where'd you get that ring from? That ring.
Why was she stunned by the ring to begin with? Because she doesn't know that guy's a serial killer.
Yeah.
I was
just expensive. Unless she knew. And it was, like, maybe match a description that police released. It was, like, missing jewelry on...
But then she surely wouldn't have brought the guy into her green room.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't put two and two together until, like, he just flat out shows, hey, by the way, I have a guy in the basement.
I'm going to kill this man.
I was waiting. Once again, I'm giving Shyamalan more credit than he deserves. I was waiting for her to be like, my brother was, or my cousin was one of the victims, and that was her ring, you know, something like that. Like, yeah, I was
personal stake in it or something.
Yeah. That's why I agreed to do this concert. Because in my mind, if I'm a famous musician, I'm not going to agree to do a concert where a serial killer's at.
Is in the audience. Yeah.
First off, this concert venue should lose its license because they agreed to willingly host a serial killer and risk all of their employees' lives
without them knowing.
It's just the
attendees without them knowing.
To quote Cole, movie has to movie.
Yeah.
It's a fun premise, but it's the stupidest premise. But that being said, if I'm her, like, I'm not just going to casually do, like, a normal concert. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not bringing anyone into my dressing room. I'm not meeting with anybody.
They were just... Change up the show a little bit.
And I thought it would have been a cool twist. The whole time I was wondering, why is she even doing this concert? It might have been a fun twist if I'm willing to do this because my family member died. To him.
To doing this, yeah.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Oh, it's my MacBook. Sorry.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I'm not used to having a Mac. Sorry.
Hear that.
Sound.
Mac went off. Ding ding.
Yeah. My bad. Don't yell at me. Okay. So favorite character, least favorite character, favorite part, least favorite part. I liked that the guy was creepy, but really, like, outside of that, I didn't have a ton of likes with this movie. Wasn't a ton of dislikes other than the stuff we've talked about with the cops. But there wasn't a lot of stuff I liked.
I liked how him being a firefighter played into, like, his, like, killing knowledge. Where, like, oh, I have carbon monoxide. Oh, it's like, mm-hmm. I know where all these abandoned houses are.
That was cool.
That's, I kind of like that, you know? Yeah.
He was very thought out. Like, maybe he's smarter than we're giving him credit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or he's just the luckiest man alive. He's Nathan Drake, but a serial killer.
Evil. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Outside of that, though, no, I've got really nothing else. I think we've talked about my favorite, like, all the parts of the movie that I think are worth talking about.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't like the girls that the daughter's beefing with. I didn't like the mom, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, starting to think, like, I guess you need that, though, because it's talking about forgiving someone, and the dad never forgave his mom.
Yeah, I did kind of like that. Yeah.
That's a good connection. Okay.
When all the lights go off, he doesn't do anything. Yeah,
yeah. Like, hey, if you forgive someone, turn your light on, and he didn't do it because he was so tormented by his mom.
Cole, that's a really good point. Here's my follow-up question. Are you making that connection, like, because it was supposed to be made, or do you think that that was an accidental thing?
I think it's because it's supposed to be made.
I think it's supposed to.
Really?
Because you could, if it wasn't, it would make no sense to have that character even in the movie then.
I think the way he looks around when everyone has their lights on, he's kind of like,
yeah, because
he looks uncomfortable.
And the daughter has forgave. Mm-hmm. Like, she did it.
I could totally see that being with the daughter. Like, that scene was in it for the daughter. I guess maybe you're right. It would have been cool if they showed us, like, when she said that, think of someone, picture them in your heart, if they showed, like, his ghost mom in the audience.
At that time, we didn't know it was his mom, though. We just seen this creepy ghost lady around the facility.
So show the ghost lady.
Could be foreshadowing.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Because we've seen her in the bathroom, and we saw her just randomly in the arena.
Yeah.
We were still connecting to Dustin who that lady is.
I think that was good intrigue, too. Like, when she shows him the bathroom, and you're kind of like, this is the men's room.
The bathroom one was creepy.
And you're kind of like, who is this lady?
And then she's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it pans over to her again, just randomly in the arena. And actually, all the characters behind her are gone. It's just her in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they set up the FBI lady, the mom connection, like how she looks like his mom, because like he looks at her, and he seems really irritated, and that kind of pays it off at the end. When she like pretends to be his mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty well set up.
His character is by and large the most unnerving part of the movie. And for me, like, I had some friends who took their kid to like see a therapist because they were like killing bugs and like they wanted to hurt cats and stuff like that. And they were kind of worried and they were like, they were very, very, very stressed out. I haven't talked to them in years. This was back when I was going to Johnny Logan, but I think that they were nervous that like their kid would kind of be like this guy was, because apparently some people just snap and you can tell at a young age.
Yeah.
And like the detective lady says, really only the mother would have noticed it. And like, but they were like, we're hoping we're not going to have to like send our kid off to live in a mental institution their whole life. Like that was a fear they had. So like seeing this, like that is kind of a spooky thing to think that
real life
people
thing,
are,
yeah.
It's a real life condition and those people are out there.
Yeah.
And Jonah works with one.
I do.
Oh, do you not know?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say a name.
It's Cade.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you were with Cade.
It's him. Yeah.
He does have the nice guy persona down.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a killer.
He could be.
I'll ask him later.
Yeah. You please
be honest.
Are you a serial killer?
Be honest with me. Don't lie. Are you a serial killer?
That kind of goes up. One of my few observation notes that didn't fall into like likes or dislikes is like, I feel like the mom should have noticed sooner something was wrong. So like maybe not necessarily that he was a killer to begin with, but once she started suspecting him, especially once we found out that she's the one who left the receipt.
Yeah.
At
she
the place.
She set the whole thing up kind of in a way.
When Night Raven, when Lady Raven shows up to the house and like things are getting weird, she seemed very confused, but I feel like I would be like,
wait a minute.
Put she knows
two and two together
because it sounds like she, yeah, she definitely knew.
She knew,
yeah,
like,
the whole time. That's the
I would have said, yeah, no, Lady Raven can't come to our house.
You're in danger, Lady Raven.
You're in
danger,
yeah. Like,
I'll take care of it,
yeah. Like, I'm gonna call the police. Like,
now I know, yeah.
If I'm the mom and Lady Raven's coming to my house, I'm calling the police,
yeah. If I'm the mom and Lady Raven runs in the bathroom and is terrified, I'm calling the police,
yeah. She just seemed like very confused up until the moment he shut the garage door and the police showed up. But but then later we find out that she did suspect him and or knew it was him. She mentions getting the jewelry and mentions like the safe house. Like,
yeah, setting him up. Yeah.
So I didn't like that, but geez.
Yeah. I will. Earlier you said something about like what we think the movie was going to be like, but I had like spoilers. What I thought was going on is I thought that the movie was setting us up to think that he was the killer, that he was the butcher. And my theory was, because he goes in the stall and he has the video of the guy in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was someone that had already died. And the killer, it was like his friend. And it was like the last known footage of like the killer, like he was dead. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was that this guy was actually looking for the killer and that he was thinking like, okay, well, I know how this guy works.
Yeah.
If he's trying to get backstage, I got to get backstage and get my revenge. That's where I thought it was going. And then until it wasn't until he blows up the fryer and burns the lady, I'm like, yeah, this guy might be the killer.
That was when I looked at Cole and I said, so my theory was wrong.
Yeah, I think he's like, the
this
killer.
This man is super sus and is turning into a hitman game over here.
Yeah, even when he really pushed lady down the stairs, I was like, you know, she's probably fine.
Like, you know, I didn't do it.
What? Broken neck.
I broke a neck. Cute, right, yeah.
Fire up Shaggy. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. No, Jonah, I think that would have been a good... Don't want to dunk too much on Shyamalan here. Like, he's had four good movies, but like, that would have been a good twist.
Yeah.
Would have been a good, like, I don't know.
The other one I thought is that when it's like the wife is like making the teapot or whatever, she's kind of chilling there and he comes back. I thought she's going to be like, it was, I thought it was going to reveal that the wife was in on it. Like, she was also planning.
I did kind of have that thought for a split second there.
Yeah. Until she goes,
and
he walks in.
I was hoping we were going to have like, they were just going to straight up just rip off The Shining at that point. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
Once again, I think I would have enjoyed those movies a little bit more than what I got.
Did we write a better movie than Shyamalan just did?
I think so.
Wild Ride, yeah. Maybe let's write a movie.
Shyamalan Ding Dong, if you're watching this.
Get us on the staff. And also, your daughter's not allowed to be in the next movie.
Yeah. I've said this a couple times. Like, in every writer's room, they just need to have, towards the end of the process, one or two normal people.
Just read it, yeah.
Someone who's not into their own ideas.
Just get like a dad from like some suburban area. Just come in and like just kind of tell him what's happening and loosely read him the script and just have him be like,
"How that
a
second?
Yeah. Now hold up. Now how are that? They just don't do that.
Yeah.
Like or maybe they do, and like the people they're bringing in are just so awestruck by the process. But like I just feel like just get one normal person in the room who's not a writer to just bounce your ideas off of.
Get a proofreader.
Yeah. I don't know. I have nothing else more to say about this movie. Unless do you guys have any closing thoughts?
Nope.
Okay, let's jump into the rubric. Get my scores ready. Reminder, we have plot, characters, direction, continuity, and enjoyment. I'll go ahead and start us off here. The plot for this movie.
Hold on, we're doing direction to continuity. I thought we're doing audio and visual.
Oh, is this the old one? Oh, I think you're right.
Oh,
I was on the wrong one. Plot. I literally read it because I knew we changed it, but I was on the wrong tab. I made a copy of the new one, of the old one in case we ever needed to go back and review it. Sorry. Plot, characters, visual, audio, and enjoyment. So I'll start us off with plot. I'm going to give the plot a 2. I think that far and above, probably the weakest part of the movie. Continuity errors abound. Just lack of effort abounds. I'm going to give plot a 2.
I'm going to do a 3. I mean, I think it's a serviceable plot. I mean, I think early on, it's fine. It does get bloated and drags on for way too long once they leave the concert.
Yeah.
Then it's like you have a whole, like, another, you know, 30, 40 minutes of movie left when it feels like it should be wrapping up anytime soon.
Not every movie can be Return of the King.
Yeah.
Return of the King's allowed to have 5 endings because that movie's amazing.
It needs 5 endings.
Remember when Josh said it was boring?
Yeah, Josh is a piece of trash, and I hope he listens to this episode. And Josh, if you're out there, the fact that you helped Cole pick Small Soldiers over the Two Towers, I'm...
Every week this gets brought up.
This is the new Avatar thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's worse than Avatar.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cole, you're a 3. Jonah?
I'm also going to go 3. It's entertaining enough, I think, but continuity is pretty rough, like, in terms of, like, okay... You just said that the whole place is locked down. How is he? They just told me he can walk out the back door. You know, I'm going to go 3. It's an entertaining enough plot. I do agree. The pacing is kind of bad. I think at the beginning, when he shows up, you're kind of like, okay, we get it. He's the killer. Like, let's get some shenanigans going.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they leave, it kind of drags on. I think after the bathroom scene, it drags pretty. It's way too long.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a soft 3, but I can definitely, ask me again, it could be a 2. I'm going to say 3.
I think I've shared before that like the more I enjoy a movie, the bigger my suspension of disbelief hat is.
Yes.
Like something like Deadpool and Wolverine, we've talked about, I can ignore plot holes because that movie's goofy. For a movie like this, when I didn't enjoy it a lot and it takes itself very seriously, my suspension of disbelief hat is like one of those like little... Or are they called yarmulkes?
Yes.
That's all I've got. Like, it doesn't even cover my whole head.
Yes.
Like, if it wasn't for tons of just issues with continuity, I could do a 3 for the story itself. But there's just too much. So, Cole, why don't you start us off? Characters.
I'm going to go 4. Because, I mean, there's not, like, any characters that I, like, dislike. I just think, you know, the cop's incompetence, which I know get it makes the movie. I just think a lot, most will be kind of forgettable by the end of it. But, like, there's no one that was, like, a bad character.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't feel right giving it a 5, but I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 3. I think the main guy is fairly interesting. I mean, he's no, like, Joker or, like, Hannibal Lecter or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think he's an interesting enough character. But everyone else, I'm kind of indifferent towards. The daughter, like the actress, did a fine job, but I was indifferent. T-shirt guy was funny, but he's in there for like 10 minutes. He's just funny.
We needed more of him in the movie.
Spin-off movie of T-shirt guy.
Yeah.
What if that's like a follow-up, like the sequels just following T-shirt guy
and how he's
coping with Cooper being a serial killer?
That'd be awesome. In my Shyamalan's T-shirt guy. Classic. I'm indifferent, so 3.
Okay. I'm going to go with 4. I kind of, with characters, also count acting in that category as well. I think the acting was pretty solid across the board, even for having a child actor. Like, I don't know how old.
I mean, the kid actors or kid actor.
She was good.
She was good. She was good. There have been way worse kid actors we've seen on here.
I thought that, what's her name? Allison Pill.
What's she
been
in?
Wait, no, sorry. Ariel Donahue.
What's she been in?
I don't know. I pulled up here real quick.
I've seen her in something before.
Ariel Donahue. I have to learn how to right click on a Mac. Wolf Like Me, Blueback, High Life, and Tough. I have not seen any of those.
She looked familiar, but
she looked a little familiar. Either way, I thought she did a pretty good job. Thought the mom was fine. The scene she's in, Josh Hartnett, we've all agreed, has done a great job.
Okay, he was just losing his mind at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
he kind of carries the movie.
I think that Shyamalan Jr. did a decent job.
Yeah, like, she wasn't a bad actress.
She was a good actress. Yeah. And if that was really her singing, she was a good singer. Like, she did really good. I'm with Cole.
I get it. You want to get your daughter into help your daughter out here with your platform, but, like, there's other ways to do it.
My thing is I'm a director. My daughter wants to get her acting career off the ground. Yeah, I'm going to put her in my movie. But it almost feels like this movie was written around his daughter.
Yes.
Which is where my problem comes.
Which she went away for a good chunk at the end. Like,
get your daughter in that smile, too. The trailer's had a pop star. That would have been perfect.
Kind of. The moment that she was taken away and should have been removed from the movie, they still made sure to cut back to her hugging the families. Yeah. Like, they had to get her in there one last time. Like, I don't know. So I'm going to give characters a 4. Like, I think that most of it was really well done. Acting was great. So, Jonah, visuals. My bad. Start us off.
Visuals.
So this is cinematography, any use of CGI, shot composition, vibes, however you want to break it down.
I'm going to give it a 3. I think some of the shots were really cool. Like, I think, like, the shot we talked about earlier, but the shot where everyone has their lights on for forgiveness and he's, like, looking around, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some of the camera movements were pretty cool sometimes. But then there were some times when it kind of, I don't know, especially when they leave the arena, some of it's a little more simple. And that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say, like, I'm thinking, like, 5 for visuals is, like, Dune or something. Or like La La Land, where it's like, dang, this
Blade Runner.
Yeah, this camera shot is awesome.
Yeah.
Like 3, it's nothing wrong with it, but it is good and had some cool shots.
Yeah. I'm also a 3. Once again, he did some weird stuff with the camera. And I don't know why. Sometimes people do weird things with the camera because they're trying to elicit a feeling or show something or like symbolize something. And maybe he is. Shyamalan, I apologize if you were, but I didn't pick up on it. And there's a couple times it was really weird. Multiple times it showed, like there's one scene where like there were boxes on the side. It was when he was talking with the t-shirt guy. Like the camera was like acting like it was a box sitting on the shelf. And then there's the one where he's on the side of the stage and it's pulled back. Like there's just a lot of weird, unnecessary, like artsy shots. But it wasn't terrible. It was serviceable. I'm going to give it a 3. So Cole.
I'm going to give it a 4. I mean, like you said, to give it a 5 would be like Dune or like Deadpool and Wolverine or like something like that. I don't think it deserves that, but the shots weren't bothering me. Like, I guess like weren't affecting me the same way they were affecting you guys on that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't feel right giving it a 3. I'd give it a 4.
Okay. All right. I'll start us off for audio. Weirdly enough, I think I'm actually going to give audio a 5. Part of me wants to give it a 4 because there wasn't anything incredible, but there also wasn't anything I can complain about. In fact,
it was your typical thriller movie background noise is what.
Which would normally maybe get a 4 actually from me if it's just typical. However, this movie took place at a concert and I could always hear the characters.
Yes.
Clear, distinct. I never once in this movie, and this is very typical of thriller movies, I sometimes like things get lost. Could always understand what they were saying, even when there was a concert going on, and the concert was mixed very well with the sound system, so that like what the actors were saying was front and center, and the concert was kind of playing behind. So I'm going to give audio a 5. Like, I feel like this would have been a hard movie to shoot with just everything going on and make it sound good, but I liked it. 5. Cool.
I would agree. And it was mixed very well, so I'm also going to give it a 5. I like that, you know, no matter where you are in that venue, you can still hear the concert in the background where, like, it never just goes away.
Yeah.
And because they could have easily done that. They could have easily just, like, now we don't need background, but to really immerse you in the concert feel.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. I think I'll also go 5. And when you mentioned that, I think that makes a lot of sense, you know. Yeah. I mean, I just agree with what you guys said.
Oh, Jonah, I clicked on 5 for visuals for you. What was your visuals? Was it a 3?
3.
Okay. My bad. Okay. So, all right, last category. Cole, start us off for this one, enjoyment.
I'm going to be real. I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. So you still liked it?
Here's the thing. Does it have problems? Yes. But I think it's one of the better things Shyamalan's done, which I get it. That's not a high bar lately. Because, you know, Split came out in, what, 2016?
I've still never forgiven him for Avatar.
I mean,
like, he could make my favorite movie. He could. He could come out next week and be like, here it is. I made this movie for Tim McDaniel. This is it.
It's
and
perfect.
It could be my favorite movie. I won't forgive him. He won't get my light.
Yeah.
Up in the air.
Did you not hear that he's redoing the Lord of the Rings trilogy?
Don't even joke. I know you're joking.
I was like, are you for real?
Hold up. What if the scene where he was like, think of someone who's hurt you in your head. Picture them. And hold up your light to show your forgiveness. What if that was him asking for Avatar?
That was like, Avatar fans, yeah.
Please let it go.
I'm sorry.
Like, listen, I tried. I really did.
He did not try. There's no way he tried. It movie sucks.
But yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. Overall, I enjoyed, you know, the mystery, even though there wasn't I was on edge the whole time, wanting to see where the story was going to go. I didn't want to get up and go to the bathroom at any point because I'm like, I'm going to miss something crucial to the story.
That's valid. Yeah, that's valid.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I feel good with that.
Okay. Jonah?
I'm also going to go 4. I think even though it does drag a little bit sometimes when we take breaks to sing or, you know, the last half drags, I was never bored the entire movie. I was always like, what's going to happen next? Is this guy going to snap? When's he going to snap? Who's going to die?
He's putting on the nice guy and he's teetering a little bit.
His eyes twitching. Yeah. So I'm not going to say 5 because, you know, there's way more entertaining movies and it does drag a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never bored in the movie. So,
okay. Valid. I feel like a Scrooge now. I'm going 3.
That's reasonable.
I hate it when a movie...
I was between a 3 and a 4.
But yeah, same.
I hate it when a movie has me constantly thinking, there's no way that would work. There's no way that wouldn't happen. Why'd they do this? Like, I had a hard time just getting immersed in the movie because I was constantly thinking about, like, continuity, plot hole, incompetence on the part of, like, security and the people working there and the cops. Like, and then the whole... that when those things fall apart, the premise for the entire movie... which is why I gave the plot a 2, like a concert, like, and the concert venue being willing to put their employees' lives on the line, like, all falls apart once those pillars crumble. So I didn't hate it. Thought it was a very serviceable movie. I'm going to give it a 3. So that puts me at a 68. Colt, that puts you at an 80. Jonah, you at a 72. I'm the Scrooge of this episode, bringing us to a total score of 73.3. Round down, 73%. Passes. Sure.
Yeah. I haven't been here. I haven't, like, done a ton of these. But I feel like the rubric's really effective. Every time we finish one and you say what my score is, I'm like, yeah, I feel 72 about this movie.
I'm glad you feel that way because that was the goal.
And yeah, I think it's very effective.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So,
it did better than Twisters.
It did better than Twisters. And you said that. You said you'd rather go see this movie than Twisters. And I hesitated, but maybe I would. Yeah. You know, that's not wrong. Jonah, you brought up a really good point. I'm going to look at the camera and I'm going to try to get this out this week. When we first started doing these, I put up.
Sorry, I had to. Had the tongue at the camera a little bit.
I hate that I looked up as you did that.
Sorry.
It's cursed.
It is. When we first started doing these, my thought was that like audience members could complete the rubric with us. And I did a couple links here and there in the comment section of the Spotify things, but I really fell off of that. When I upload this episode tomorrow, so when you are listening to this, I'm going to post a link for Twisters, Deadpool and Wolverine, and this movie, Trap. And if you're listening and you've seen the movie, please don't do it if you haven't seen the movie. I would love to hear, I'm going to look at the camera instead of Jonah, your thoughts on it. So there will be the rubric, and it will be a Google form. It will be anonymous. You can technically fill it out 30 different times if you really wanted to, but just like 1 to 5, and then there'll be a comment section. You don't even have to explain yourself. I really would love to get some like audience feedback, and then we can start adding some audience scores in here as well. I think that'd be fun, because that was the goal of the rubric, was that everyone can use this to evaluate a movie.
Yeah.
So
that's a cool idea.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. All right, that's the movie. We're going to close it. When we were in the car yesterday, I said we should pick in advance what our next movie is going to be.
I guess what we didn't do.
So that way, yeah.
We talked about it. We had some ideas.
Is it Borderlands this week?
Borderlands and Cuckoo come out next week.
Something comes out this weekend.
Oh, that's this weekend. Sorry. This Friday, Borderlands and Cuckoo come out. Next weekend.
I think it's
Aliens.
It's Romulus.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather do Cuckoo.
Yeah, Cuckoo. Yeah.
But I feel like more people are going to want to see Borderlands.
That's more of the blockbuster pick.
Maybe we'll do a Facebook poll. Which movie would you rather us go watch?
Yeah.
And then we'll let the audience decide how we waste our money this weekend.
Yeah. I said, do you want to see, well, I don't know, Cuckoo maybe not be good, but I mean.
It looked good.
Borderlands could surprise me, Cole's, but I'm not a fan of
simp for A24.
I love me some A24.
If he sees the letter A and then the numbers 2 and 4 anywhere in the same vicinity, he gets a chuck.
I'm on board.
Heretic, he's just like, whoa.
I mean, listen, they put out good stuff.
Most of the time they do.
At the very least, it's a talking point.
Yes. Even if a movie is like a dumpster fire, you're going to be talking about it. Cough, cough, Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like Men. But you're right. I can't get that image of that out of my mind.
Midsummer, there's a ton of talking points there.
I love Midsummer. I do love Midsummer. Okay, so Borderlands or Cuckoo probably then. And then my last thing here, as we close out, we loosely talked about this in the car. If they do a sequel to this, because it's 2024 and everything has to have and gets a sequel, one, would you like it to get a sequel? Two, where would you like that sequel to go?
T-shirt guy, obviously.
T-shirt guy.
About movie about T-shirt guy?
Yeah.
Is he the hostage? Is he the killer?
He's coping with his good buddy Cooper being a serial killer.
Is it like maybe he gets roped into it, so now he's downstairs like a buddy comedy?
Oh my gosh, you know what? I would honestly love that.
I'd be down.
But
it'd be pretty funny.
Cooper and T-shirt guy.
Like, seriously though, I probably wouldn't. I like it that it's just leave it up to your own interpretation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe like this is copying other movies. But, you know, you could do he gets recruited or someone else gets recruited, like another killer to get into his mind. And maybe these two killers are clashing or something.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
Do a prequel.
Suicide Squad. It's like there's a Butcher 2 out there.
Butcher 2.
And we need you to help us catch him.
Maybe there's like a crossover with another psycho movie or something.
Okay.
Hannibal Lecter versus the Butcher.
I think I don't necessarily want a sequel. If they do a sequel, I wouldn't want it to be from his point of view as much. I would really enjoy bring back Night Raven or whatever, have her be like in a mansion or at a bar, and like he's hunting her.
Like,
because she's
revenge,
the one who got him caught. So yes, he's
took
out
his
for
life
revenge.
Away. Yeah.
He's hunting her, and have the majority of the movie be from his point of view and the cop's point of view, I think could be mildly interesting. Almost like a Scream, like the opening of Scream, kind of, or like The Purge, I think was what I said in the car. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that could be an interesting movie.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want it to be this character.
Yeah. I'm not like begging for it, but if he does make one, I would at least, my eyebrow would be raised.
Yeah.
Yes. I'd go
mew a little bit.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Well, all right. That was Trap. We're probably going to go see Cuckoo or
Borderlands. Or neither. Who will see?
Or neither. Maybe they'll pick neither. We'll go watch Gran Turismo.
Yeah, finally. A year later. Yeah.
Or what's the one you always want us to do? Ironclaw?
Ironclaw.
Ironclaw. I would like you guys to do, I'm pointing to my popcorn bucket, Dune 2.
That's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
That's a fantastic one of the best movies
ever. Rewatch
this
year. It's really good. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, please share it with your friends. Consider leaving a review and share it on Facebook. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube. Hopefully, we'll get some videos up for this one since the 360 shenanigan issue did not work. So, we'll see. So, thank you for listening and have a good day.
Bye.